And now, the rest of the story. Frank had never thought much of doctors to begin with. He'd been outraged by the helplessness of the medical profession to save the life of his own firstborn child. He'd been particularly skeptical of physicians ever since one of them announced that he, Frank, would be dead of heart disease in 2 months. And that had been 13 years before. So now as Frank lay sick with an apparent case of influenza, he did what he could to dissuade his wife from calling the doctor at all, but she called anyway. And since they were presently vacationing at their summer cottage in Canada, old Doc Bennett would have to do. The country doctor nodded, a bad cold, all right. He prescribed accordingly. But Frank kept feeling worse and worse, and his temperature shot up to 102. He ached all over. He ached terribly. 2 days later, Doc Bennett returned to find his patient's condition much deteriorated. He scratched his chin. If it really were a cold, it was the worst he'd ever seen. In fact, it probably wasn't a cold, after all. And then he turned to Frank's wife. Maybe they should call a few of the resorts in the area. Maybe some fancy city doctor was vacationing at one. Well, one was. And a fancy physician indeed, the internationally renowned surgeon and diagnostician, Dr. William W. Keene of Philadelphia. He took some persuading, but Dr. Keene agreed to make the house call, and he arrived at 7:30 that evening. During the examination, Frank's wife paced and fretted in the hallway outside the sick room door, and when it was over, Dr. Keene emerged to place a reassuring hand on her shoulder. Frank was going to be all right, said the doctor. He might take a while, but he would recover completely. And he confided his diagnosis, a clot, a blood clot, born of a sudden congestion and settled in the lower spinal cord. But wasn't there something they could do to hasten Frank's recuperation, the wife insisted. Yes, answered Dr. Keene, there was one vital therapy, something which must not be neglected under any circumstances. Massage, heavy and constant massage. Well, Dr. Keene acknowledged this would be terribly painful for Frank, but it would be for his own good and would be essential. So Frank's wife and family friend took turns torturing Frank, reluctantly but vigorously massaging him. After a few days, they received a letter from Dr. Keene, who indicated therein that his diagnosis had been imprecise. Probably there was no clot, wrote the doctor, but rather a lesion of the spinal cord, a more serious condition which made massage all the more imperative. And in the same envelope, Dr. Keene's letter included his bill for $600. All told, Frank lay in agony for 10 days, while wife and friend carried out doctor's orders. It was only after a third physician showed up that they stopped. And it was he, Dr. Robert W. Lovett of Boston, who brought the awful news that the massage prescribed by Dr. Keene had done infinitely more harm than good, had perhaps irreversibly damaged Frank's already ravaged leg muscles. A generally physically fit 39 years of age, Frank most likely would have gotten well. Completely well. Especially considering that Frank's had been only a relatively mild case of polio. On the other hand, said Dr. Lovett, it was impossible to calculate the long-range effects of Dr. Keene's $600 house call on his patient, a young businessman on vacation, in August of 1921. What I'm saying is that a summer visitor to Campobello had been misdiagnosed, mistreated, and permanently crippled. Franklin Delano Roosevelt. And now you know the rest of the story.